When Mussolini invaded that poor but noble African kingdom the following year, it irrevocably marred his image, and Americans decided they had had enough of his act. It was the first war of conquest by a Western European nation in over a decade, and Americans were distinctly unamused, particularly liberals and blacks. Still, it was a slow process. The Chicago Tribune initially supported the invasion, as did reporters like Herbert Matthews. Others claimed it would be hypocritical to condemn it. The New Republic, then in the thick of its pro-Soviet phase, believed it would be naive to blame Mussolini when the real culprit was international capitalism. And more than a few prominent Americans continued to support him, although quietly. The poet Wallace Stevens, for example, stayed pro-fascist. "I am pro-Mussolini personally," he wrote to a friend. "The Italians," he explained, "have as much right to take Ethiopia from the Coons as the Coons had to take it from the boa constrictors." But over time, largely due to his subsequent alliance with Hitler, Mussolini's image never recovered. That's not to say he didn't have a good ride. In 1923, the journalist Isaac F. Markison wrote admiringly in the New York Times that Mussolini is a Latin Teddy Roosevelt, who first acts and then inquires if it's legal. He's been of great service to Italy at home. The American Legion, which has been for nearly its entire history a great and generous American institution, was founded the same year as Mussolini's takeover and, in its early years, drew inspiration from the Italian fascist movement. "To not forget," the Legion's national commander declared that same year, "that the fascisti are to Italy what the American Legion is to the United States." In 1926, the American humorist Will Rogers visited Italy and interviewed Mussolini. He told the New York Times that Mussolini was some wop. "I'm pretty high on that bird." Rogers, whom the National Press Club had informally dubbed Ambassador at Large of the United States, wrote up the interview for the Saturday Evening Post. He concluded, "Dictator form of government is the greatest form of government, that is, if you have the right dictator." In 1927, the Literary Digest conducted an editorial survey, asking the question, "Is there a dearth of great men?" The person named most often to refute the charge was Benito Mussolini, followed by Lenin, Edison, Marconi, and Orville Wright, with Henry Ford and George Bernard Shaw tying for sixth place. In 1928, the Saturday Evening Post glorified Mussolini even further, running an eight-part autobiography written by Il Duce himself. The series was gussied up into a book that gained one of the biggest advances ever given by an American publisher. And why shouldn't the average American think Mussolini was anything but a great man? Winston Churchill had dubbed him the world's greatest living lawgiver. Sigmund Freud sent Mussolini a copy of a book he co-wrote with Albert Einstein inscribed, "To Benito Mussolini, from an old man who greets in the ruler, the hero of culture."